Now, say my name.
It's Matt Coon!
You're goddamn right.
And welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon, here on the MLW Radio Network, brought to you by our great friends over there at WrestleZone.com, the world's most widely read wrestling news site on the planet. My name is Matt Coon, and I am a fan, just like you're a fan. We're here together, and we like wrestling, and this is your daily dose of wrestling news, takes, documentaries. We're here every day, and we're giving you what you like. Short shows full of wrestling. It's really all you need, and it's every day here on Total Engagement. Well, what are we going to talk about today on Total Engagement? We are going to talk about how to save the Fiend. How to save the Fiend, and maybe even how to save the WWE after perhaps the worst week in their history. And I'll explain what I mean by that today on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon. Now, maybe you disagree with the narrative that this was the worst week in the history of the WWE. Maybe I'm suffering from hyperbole. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Or maybe, as you would think, I'm a WWE hater. None of those things are true. I really want the WWE to succeed. But let's go through and see if this was a bad week for the WWE. On Sunday, Hell in a Cell, we had the finish that ruined Seth Rollins, that ruined The Fiend. It made no sense at all. And it really had an uproar in its fans wondering what the hell was going on. WWE responded with a Raw the next day, which really's main focus was not mentioning that at all. Not the one angle, the most interesting thing, the thing that had people on the tips of their tongues talking about the WWE. Not just the angle beforehand, but actually the fallout from that terrible ending that we covered last week. That would be something you could make the case and say, well, there's no such thing as bad publicity. If you wanted to double down on that, you would try to make something creatively out of that. But instead, they had what was panned as a terrible Raw, and they lost viewers from the week before, which was supposedly the premiere. On Wednesday, NXT dropped viewers. Probably baseball related because the NXT program was good as it was the week before. And of course, this past Friday was the follow-up to the very polarizing debut on Fox, which some people would say was full of stars, had The Rock, was fantastic. Other people would say, hey, it doesn't matter that the rating's good. What is the long-term plan here? How is this talent being used to further this entertainment that I want to watch for the next few months? And also, a lot of this talent that came on board and you're promoting has to do with Saudi Arabia. In any case, that was a show the week before. We don't need to relive all that. But the show this week was the draft episode. And man, oh man, could they not have missed any more? I don't know one person who think it was a good show. I don't know one person who enjoyed watching it. What were some of the missteps? Well, you have a fake draft, and then you want to pile on top of it fake draft rooms that came across as very, very insulting to the audience. We all know it's not real. Can you make it look a little real? Don't have people high-fiving after a draft pick of someone that people don't care about. But really the biggest misstep was the draft is supposed to be one of the highest rated episodes of the year because of the intrigue, because of the anticipation, because of the mystery, because there's a notion that we don't know what could happen. Unfortunately, though, the WWE, when they released who was eligible for the draft, actually released the draft order. I'm going to say that again. The WWE on WWE.com released the draft order. Well, what happened, I've heard, is that what they gave WWE.com, they were told to put in alphabetical order, and they did not. And when they didn't, the order was there. So if you had the WWE.com article, which explained who was eligible for draft, you also had the draft order that was about to happen, supposedly spontaneously, supposedly with reactions from people in the war rooms. And not to mention, when you have a draft, it's hard to have good matches or matches that mean anything, especially when an opening match are two people fighting for the first pick of the draft of shows they don't know whether or not they're going to be on. Not only that, if the winner wins and they don't draft him, then the other team drafts him and says, thanks for not getting us the first pick, or vice versa anyway. Not well thought out, not very good. And they lost a lot of viewers last week from that big premiere week. So let's see if we can save this. First things first, with the draft, it really doesn't matter. Go ahead and draft who you want to draft. Split them up, but you got to keep the rosters apart. Please don't give it a temptation. Keep the rosters apart. Make it separate brands. If you're going to elevate someone, make them strong. Blah, 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 blah. We've said it a million times. One other thing we could do is we can merge, combine some titles, get rid of the titles. We don't need two world titles. We don't need a world title and a universal title. Combine those mothers. One world champion. Same thing with the women's. We don't need two. One world champion. Now, as far as the U.S. title, the IC belt, I would like to merge it to a single secondary belt, but that doesn't make a lot of sense because the IC belt and the U.S. title have so much history. Why don't we keep those on the separate shows as kind of your top brand belt? The IC belt could be Raw's belt. The U.S. belt could be SmackDown's belt. But only one world champion who can float between shows, only one women's champion that can float between shows, and only one tag team champion that can float between shows, which should work because there's not a ton of tag teams. And even the tag teams that are there, Vince isn't about tag teams. So let's fix that. Let's make that a thing. What to do about The Fiend? What to do about the Seth Rollins thing? Well, it looks like, if I'm making a prediction, they're going to have Seth Rollins and The Fiend over there on SmackDown. I think they're front-loading SmackDown, making it the A show. Appearing like the Raw shows is important, but really the A show is the A show. But what to do with The Fiend now? What to do with Seth Rollins now? I'm going to tell you one opinion. If you listen to the show on Total Engagement about Paul Orndorff and Hulk Hogan, it becomes apparent that Piper's Pit was a show where they furthered storylines. Not just any storylines, the headline stories. It was a crucial part. You had a very charismatic host who didn't wrestle a lot, but had a great presence. At the same time, last week on SmackDown, when they had the debut and it looked like it was getting some momentum, the Firefly Funhouse came on and it seemed really out of place. And it really brought the pace of the show down. And there's a great shot of the Fox executives looking, you know, kind of confused. I think we can fix all that. Let's make the Firefly Funhouse a live show. Bring out the puppets, whatever the fuck. But it's a live show, a live interview show that perpetuates these storylines. Not like Miz TV, but more like Piper's Pit. You have a guy there hosting, Bray Wyatt, the nice Bray Wyatt, and everyone knows The Fiend is there. Everyone knows The Fiend is possible. But I think now, especially now, the less we see The Fiend, the better. And Bray can play it like, you wouldn't like me if I'm angry. And he could be a babyface. Guess what, guys? He's a babyface. Don't try to make him heel. Shit ain't gonna work. So he's a semi-babyface that you wouldn't like if he was angry. And at any time, we know The Fiend can come out. And once every few months, The Fiend comes out. I think that's the way to go with Bray Wyatt. I think that's the way to go with The Fiend. I think he's special, and I think he can remain special. But the less he's used, the more special he can be. At the same time, Firefly Funhouse is a commodity, but it could be used as a live show that doesn't take you out completely of what's going on the screen. And at the same time, make the best use of Bray Wyatt. As for Seth Rollins, let's go ahead and get rid of some notions right away because they're not going to do them. They're not going to turn him heel. Boom. They're not going to get the title off him, apparently. Boom. Let's go with the storyline they've created that Brock Lesnar beat the shit out of him and he got broken down and he was intimidated and then he came back and he won. The same thing happened with Bray Wyatt, The Fiend. He was intimidated. He was beaten down. He snapped. He came back. Let's go with it. Let's own that shit. Let's stop ignoring it. Let's make that the story. By owning these two storylines combined with Seth Rollins, we come to the conclusion and we make the narrative that Seth Rollins is a changed man. So Seth Rollins is a guy that has come back and really showed his mettle against these two guys. But maybe he's changed now. Maybe he's darker. Maybe he's less Seth Rollins and more Death Rollins. Less talking. So much more less talking. A silent assassin who beats his opponents quickly. Set him up in a couple feuds over the next couple months. Guys that you want to build up a little bit, but guys that he beats easily. Build Seth Rollins back up. Make him a threat again as the champion. Keep him dark. keep him quiet, make him a silent assassin. That's going to make him cool. And I believe it's going to be a lot closer to the real Seth Rollins, because the Seth Rollins right now is not cool. And Seth Rollins takes that personally. He even tweeted that. But the fact of the matter is, it's the way he's presented. So let's make him cool. No talking. The silent assassin. He gets in, he gets out, he gets the title. He's unbeatable. Those are my ideas, and I got plenty of them, and you'll hear about them every single day here on Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn. Please go on iTunes, please, right now, go on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. Go around to all your devices if you like the show, and put us on all your devices, because you never know when you're going to want to listen to us, and you can even download us on an Alexa or a Google Home or any of that stuff. Go ahead and make sure you have us good to go. And again, thank you for listening to Total Engagement with you and me, Matt Kuhn.